to Brown versus Argosy Gaming Company, Mr. Newman.
May it please the court, Mr. Stewart. My name is Robert Newman from Cincinnati. All of the factors, the State Farm and the Allstate insurance case and the Seventh Circuit suggest that certification to the Indiana Supreme Court was appropriate in this case. First of all, this issue is one of first impression.
I don't understand this. If she has problems with her husband, why didn't she go to a state court and ask for some kind of order or something? If he's squandering the family assets, why does this become a responsibility of the casino to be do this? What's the casino supposed to do? The husband wants to gamble. The wife says no. What? How does the casino deal with that problem?
Well, there's no real remedy under.
This is clearly a domestic relations problem, right? It's a problem between the husband and the wife. There are domestic relations remedies. Has she been sued any of them?
There are no real domestic relations remedy under Ohio law, unless she separates or seeks a divorce from her husband. We've attached the affidavit of a divorce lawyer, Richard Landis, who indicates that that is the only option she has to generate the jurisdiction of the domestic relations court in Ohio to deal with any of these issues and to order any kind of support order or whatever. A domestic relations court in Ohio is not going to assume jurisdiction of a family and then order what is to be done with the family income and the family budget while the family is still intact. Under Ohio law, they've got to either separate or seek a divorce before the court will intervene. So there's no remedy for her under Ohio law. Is she seeking a remedy against the casino? Our argument to the Indiana Supreme Court is that under the dram shop cases, the casino should have like responsibilities
But a bar, you know how much you're serving a person, how much liquor,
right?
And you know if it's a little small person and drinks a whole bottle of scotch, so on, is going to be in trouble. But you can't do that with a gambler, right? You can't do that with a gambler. You don't know how, as long as the gambler is paying. How do you know whether he's gambling excessively? Because his wife says so? What if he says, no, I'm not gambling excessively. She's just a shrew. She wants to spend our money on a fur coat, and I prefer the thrill of gambling. So what's the casino supposed to do with that?
Well, first of all, I mean, the...
Do you have to hire a private detective to investigate these people and see which of them is...
The question is, you're asking is whether or not the casino has put on adequate notice that there is serious consequences to the family, and when a person comes to the casino and says, my husband has been gambling
It's supposed to exclude him on her say so, or is it supposed to investigate?
Well, it can't exclude. They're on notice at that point, and they've got to exercise reasonable care, and that's then a question for the jury. Is it reasonable under the circumstances to bar
What if he went into an automobile dealer and he wanted to buy a Jaguar, and his wife calls up the dealer and says, don't sell a Jaguar to this fellow. We have much more urgent needs. Your argument would be the same.
No, it wouldn't, because...
Why?
Well, the Restatement of Torts, Section, I think it is 303 or whatever it is, deals with things that can, by their nature, cause damage to third parties, such as a bar or a casino or...
No, the gambling doesn't... The problem with the bar is that the person may drive off and, in a drunken state, mm-hmm. and kill someone. The gambler doesn't do that. The gambler is just someone who's extravagant and loses money and maybe ruins his family. Well, any kind of extravagance, whether you're gambling or whether you're buying fast cars or supporting dancing girls, whatever your mode of extravagance is, it can ruin the family finances.
I think there are some operations, Your Honor, that traditionally have been associated with the potential for causing injury to families or to third parties. Gambling operations are simply one, and that's been recognized in the literature that we've cited, that there are, in this country, some number of compulsive gamblers who cause great injury to their families. I think there is a difference between that
and compulsive shoppers.
Yes, I think there is. I think it's
we actually had obvious. A case. We had a case. I think wasn't your case?
No.
Where there was a defense, where defense to a criminal fraud case was that the person had a shopping addiction.
Yes.
Couldn't control her purchases.
That was a defense to a criminal case? Well, I'm not a...
It was rejected, but it was...
Well, I would support that rejection, Your Honor.
That poor soul is shopping in jail. I'd like to talk to you really about the standards of review, because you didn't respond to Argosy's point, which was that our review would be for abuse of discretion. And would you agree with that at this point?
I would not, Your Honor.
You would not?
I think it's a de novo consideration. It's a legal consideration, and it's de novo. In any event, I would also suggest that in these circumstances it would be an abuse of discretion. I mean, here... One of the considerations is how much of a burden are we going to put on the Indiana Supreme Court by certifying the question. They can refuse it.
Why didn't you bring this suit in state court?
Well, because we thought that the federal court, trying the case in the federal court...
I know, but look, but there's something, really gratuitous about that, because what you do is, your object apparently was to have two court systems deal with this case, the Federal District Court,
yes.
Court of Appeals, and then the Indiana Supreme Court, instead of having the Indiana judiciary deal with it. So why should we encourage that kind of dual litigation strategy? It involves delay, it involves burden, they have to formulate a question for Indiana Supreme Court, they have to decide whether to take it. Whether they want to deal with an issue without having the facts and so on, and then it comes back to us, and that's no way to conduct the litigation.
Well, it's not the easiest way, Your Honor, but we certainly gave serious consideration as to whether or not to file in the state court system, and as a citizen of another state, she had a right to file in federal court, and felt that would be her best chance of protecting her interests. And had the case been certified earlier on, we would be presenting the case to the jury.
Assuming the Indiana Supreme Court accepted it, there's no...
That's correct. That is correct.
Yeah. But, okay, you want to save the rest of your time? Mr. Stewart?
May it please the Court. I'm David Stewart, here for Argosy Gaming. I wanted to note a couple of contextual points about this case. The court's obviously sensitive to them, I believe. One is that no compulsive gambling claim has ever been successful in this country. We cited 8 in our briefs. And more to the point, no other compulsive gambling claim, even those 8, has involved a claim by a third party. Claiming a form of derivative injury, as Mrs. Brown has. And the theory here is that the Indiana Supreme Court will recognize a cause of action as analogous to dram shop liability, and there are important reasons why that's not true. It is a poor analogy, which Judge Barker held. It's a great leap to go from dram shop liability, and she held that it was too great. Dram trap liability involves a single catastrophic event.
Is her husband is not a party, is he?
He is not.
But are they still married or still, or we don't know?
I don't have those facts. They're not in the record. The only allegation is that she has asked him to stop gambling and he has refused. Ordinarily, there's a physical injury that's been inflicted by a drunk person. This, as the court has pointed out, this case involves a gradual impoverishment. So she does not stand in the same shoes as the person who, the pedestrian, has been hit by a drunk driver. She stands in the same shoes as the spouse of someone who drinks too much and impoverishes the family because he drinks too much and ruins the family's finances. There is no dram shop liability, then, from which to extrapolate liability in this case. The second point is, as Judge Barker stressed, Indiana courts have always been reluctant to usurp the legislature's role in creating liability by coming up with new causes of action. I should advise the court, we mentioned in our brief pending legislation at the time we filed our brief, that legislation has been adopted. It's Public Law 143, which does create a voluntary self-exclusion program for gamblers in Indiana. But it's important to note that statute. It imposes no duty on casinos to exclude compulsive gamblers. They simply are supposed to cut off their promotional mailings to them, cut off their credit if they have any, not check, cash.
Is this something the gambler himself requests?
Gambler has to do so ordinarily. We don't have regulations yet. It's not in effect. But in other states, ordinarily the gambler has to sign an affidavit and acknowledge his own responsibility. It's an odd thing to do, this sort of self-exclusion program. The treatment professionals view it as a sort of therapeutic step for the person to take responsibility for his own actions. For a casino, it can be a bit of an administrative nightmare to try to figure out who of the 1,000 people there that night might be self-excluded.
This is probably not all that relevant, but I am wondering, do casinos come under the Dram Shop Act? Because they ply people with drinks, it seems to me, from all I've read.
There is certainly alcoholic beverage service, and they, as servers of alcoholic beverage, they would fall under dram shop liability, yes.
So,
And have been, in ordinary injury actions, have been sued for those. Essentially, what's going on here is an end run around the legislature and also around the state court procedures, which we would urge the court not to endorse. A couple of quick points on the certification standards. Indiana law may be silent on this issue. After all, it's never been brought in any other case that we know of. But it's not unsettled. The courts that have looked at compulsive gambling claims, certainly coming out of Indiana, this court's panel in the Trump Indiana case, Merrill versus Trump Indiana, Williams versus Azkar, which is a case will be argued in this court next month, and Judge Barker in this case, had no difficulty determining that Indiana law would not support a cause of action here. Again, there are fact-specific claims here. It is a unique case at this point. An undocumented and unverifiable alleged report to the casino of a gambling problem by a third party. This court has been very clear that novel state law claims should be brought in the first instance in state court. That's been precedent here, and we would urge the court to adhere to that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stewart. Mr. Newman, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Well, yes, dram shop law does cover casinos, and they are obviously required to cut off somebody who's drunk. Also, they have common law obligations in the event that somebody is assaulted in a casino, and they're obligated, if they're on notice, to attempt to intervene and preserve the peace. A lot of people who gamble in casinos also consume alcohol, and that yet we have this proposed exception, I would say, that with respect to their injurious gambling.
But as you said, you don't have third party suits based on the financial. I mean, suppose someone is drunk and drives and hits someone and is sued, has to pay a judgment. His wife can't get a remedy because he had to pay a judgment because the bar violated the dram shop law.
his wife can't get a judgment against him for incurring liability to a fourth party
Right.
I've not heard of that judge. It's the third party who's injured by his
drinking. Right. But the point is, the wife is financially injured by the drinking in just the same way that Mrs. Brown is injured by her husband's gambling.
Well, I don't think it's...
Why isn't that symmetrical?
Well, I think...
The heavy drinker imposes financial costs on his family the same way as the heavy gambler.
They both do, obviously. And I think that if a person who drinks heavily, causes catastrophic injury to third parties, and also catastrophic injuries to the family, there may well be liability on and some recourse by the wife in some circumstances.
Okay, thank you very much, both counsel. Last case for